Welcome. You're listening to the RPC Sermons podcast. You can join us for virtual worship every Sunday at roswellpres.org. Thanks for listening.
So when I heard that it was Senior Sunday today, I got really excited because I thought we were going to be celebrating seniors, as in the older adults that are in the universe of congregational care, but it turns out that we're celebrating seniors in high school, which is equally exciting. So today we will continue the sermon series called This Is My Story, in which the pastors have been charged to tell you more about ourselves within the context of Scripture and the story of God. And the story that shows, it's the book of Jonah, not a few verses or a few chapters, but the whole book. Now, I'm not going to read that to you today, but I am going to give you homework to read that later today, and it's only four chapters long, so it shouldn't take too much time. And when it comes to Jonah, I think that most of us go immediately to that famous story where Jonah is swallowed by the whale. It's a story that we probably heard back during vacation Bible school as children, and then maybe not too much since then. And as we grow older, we might re-examine things, we might read it again, and we might find that story a little bit difficult to swallow, so to speak. I mean, eaten by a shark, that makes sense. But being swallowed and taken underwater, living in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights without being digested, only to be spat back upon the beach to live another day, that's a whole other story together. So with the interpretation of this story and how we read it, I don't think it matters if we read it literally word for word or otherwise. It does not change what the story conveys. It does not change what God wants us to learn and understand, but there are other options. For example, the study Bible that I use invites us to consider Jonah as an allegory, a parable, a legend, or satire, and in my reading, a satirical reading of Jonah is what is best. I think that we're supposed to read certain parts of Jonah and laugh out loud. And the story, the subject of the laughter in Jonah is Jonah himself. And what makes this book unique is not what the prophet says, but what the prophet does, or more specifically, fails to do. God tells Jonah, "Jonah, I want you to go. Cry out against the Ninevites because they have sinned mightily against God. Their wickedness has come before me." Jonah not only refuses this calling and this commission, but he runs in the opposite direction. So his response isn't even neutral. He is told to go here, and instead he goes here. It could have been that Jonah wanted to be in control of his life. He didn't want God meddling or interfering in his plans. But given the context, I think it's clear that the would-be prophet has no desire to go to Nineveh specifically. Nineveh had been the capital of Assyria. Assyria was the world superpower of its day, and Assyria had flexed its muscles on both Israel and Judah, sending some off into exile, making others into a vassal state. So the idea that Jonah would deliver a prophetic word to a people who represented his political, social, and religious enemy, that would have been a very bitter pill to swallow. Jonah was so repulsed by the idea that he tries to run away and continues to fall into this comic series of missteps. But before we read those few verses, friends, let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Amen. From Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, because their wickedness has come before me." But Jonah set out to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa to find a ship going to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. He paid his fare, got on board, and there he went. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So there's a song that I've listened to for a very long time. It's a song that I really enjoy. It's written by the band Blind Faith. The song is titled In the Presence of the Lord. It was written by Eric Clapton. Steve Winwood sang the lyrics, and the refrain concludes. Everybody knows the secret. Everybody knows the score. I have finally found a place to live in the presence of the Lord. So while that was good for Clapton and Winwood, it obviously wasn't so much for Jonah. Again, we're told not once but twice that Jonah ran away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah delivered the message that God gave him only after falling again and again and again deeper and deeper down. I think it's three or four times that the word fell down or goes down was used. Jonah's needed a little bit of convincing. And Jonah's calling matches up pretty well with mine when I was told maybe you should consider into the ministry. Even though I grew up in the church, the idea or the concept of God's calling upon my life and my responding to it, that was a distant concept. This is in no way a reflection upon my parents or my pastors or the volunteer leaders in my life. I simply did not have the intelligence or the awareness to accept it. So, thinking again of our seniors today, I remember my own high school years. And in hindsight, I think that I spent a significant amount of time during those years trying to fulfill the expectations of others. I played football not because I was particularly good at it, but because my two older brothers had played. My dad was a star fullback back in his time. One older brother joined the swim team, so I did too. Another brother went on to be student council president, so 8 years later, I did that too. I became president of the youth group, and why we had officers, I do not know, but there I was. Also a member, a junior representative on the Chamber of Commerce, attended Boys Day, the National Honor Society. And I understand that all of these things were a great privilege that were afforded to me. They were a great honor, and I enjoyed most of them. But again, these were all the things that I felt that I was expected to do. There was only one thing that I made my own, and that was to join the wrestling team. My senior year, somehow, I cut my weight down to 152 pounds, and that's me being taken down there. I was lean and mean and angry, and it turns out that skipping meals and only eating an orange for dinner, that will make you angry. And I almost used that text today. I love that text, the one where Jacob wrestles throughout the night with this mysterious figure, only to wake up the next day and limp along with a brand new name. And I think that when we pair that story of Jonah with Jacob, we can find that there are times in our lives where God doesn't wait for us to come into the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord can come down on us and engage us and force us to wrestle. Moving on through school, I discovered my senior year that the University of Memphis, or Memphis State as it was called during the time, they offered a scholarship for people who had good grades but better potential in becoming a leader of some kind in the future. So with a full ride, I moved off to Memphis. I got a job waiting tables at Molly's La Casita. Margarita Mondays were not to be missed. And between the scholarship and waiting tables, I was financially independent at the age of 18. So I love my parents. I spoke to them regularly, but I cut them off from what I was doing and how I was doing. I changed my permanent mailing address to Memphis, Tennessee, and my parents' only knowledge of my academic progress or lack thereof was only what I told them over the phone. Remember, this is a time before email. So no longer under the shadow of my siblings or feelings of pressure to live into the expectations of others, I decided that it was time to do what I wanted to do. Believing that I had run away from the presence of the Lord and everything else that was good and holy, I went on to sow my wild oats. I lived it up. In my mind, I was having a lot of fun. And when my new friends and I heard and were advised that nothing good happens after 1 o'clock in the morning, we decided, let's find out what happens after two. So After a few years, I finally had my own place, a small efficiency apartment, 22 floors up, overlooking the Mississippi River, and I thought then that I had it made. That's a picture of me with hair, just so you can know that there was a time when that existed. And beside it is the picture taken from the balcony of that apartment where I could look down on the Memphis Bridge and over at the pyramid where the Tigers played their basketball games. Now it's a Bass Pro Shop. But in God's eyes, if I had to imagine how God saw it, I imagine that God looked upon it in the way that one of my favorite hymns reads. It reads, "I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoiced the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child with a faith to suit you well. In a blaze of light, you wandered off to find where demons dwell." Now, if you sing that hymn, trust me, the lyrics get more positive from there. But wander off I did, and when those 4.5 years at Memphis were over, I confess that I became a little lost. The job that I had fallen through. I didn't have any kind of backup plan. And feeling lost and defeated, I moved back home to Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee, and that's, let me assure you, that's the last place I thought I would be. Like Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life, I thought, I'm going to shake the dust of this crummy little town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world. And like Jimmy Stewart's character, I felt stuck while the world went on without me. So I moved into a small cinder block house that was literally falling apart on a church member's farm. I started working at Jostens, which maybe some of our seniors still have class rings. I don't know if that's a thing, the graduation announcements they make. And I began coaching the city's swim team. And over the course of my time back home, I was asked to volunteer with the youth, the same youth group that I had been a part of only years before. And I loved it. I truly loved it. I found at that time that I could connect really well with the youth, and I tried to teach them things that so they wouldn't make some of the same mistakes that I had made. And later on, upon departure of an associate pastor, I was asked, "Hey, instead of volunteering, why don't you work here for a little bit? Why don't you actually work here full time as a layperson?" Now, the name of the person who asked me those questions, who went on to shape my faith, his name is Gordon Turnbull, and it should come as absolutely no surprise that he is the same mentor that Dan had at one point in his life. Because, of course, the two people who are often confused with one another have the same mentor in common. And even with Gordon's intervention and all of the other people telling me that I needed to pursue the ministry, I was still pulling a Jonah. I was still trying to run away from the presence of the Lord. Like the prodigal son, I thought, I'm going to move off to a distant place. I'm going to spend the rest of my resources. I'm going to live it up. But to make it clear, escaping the presence of the Lord was never possible then, and it's never possible now. The Reformed theologian Karl Barth echoes what Jonah and so many others in Scripture have tried to convey. I'm going to paraphrase what's up there on the screen. He tells us that we can never cease being the good creature of the elect of God. Even as sinners, we cannot fall from the hand of God. We cannot snatch ourselves from God's divine grasp. And that means that even as we confess that we're sinners, we cannot cease to be the people who are God's divine work. As God is still the same, so are we still the same, even when faced with hardships and calamities. As sinners, fallen victims to the strict and radical and definitive judgment of God, we are still belonging to God, still God's good creature, still God's elect. And what that tells us is that God's will, God's stories, and God's plans will be carried out. And run as we may, God will reel us back in and bring us into God's plan if that is God's desire to do so. So that job that I mentioned before, the one that I thought I had locked up but had kind of fallen through, one day my old boss in Memphis, Tennessee, she called and said, "Hey, we've got a position open for you. You'll have to apply. You'll have to go through the process, but it's pretty much yours if you want it." And at the same time, I received a call from a former interim pastor that I'd worked with after Gordon Turnbull left and went to East Tennessee to work with Dan. That interim's name was Shep Krigler, and he was up the road in Franklin, Tennessee, at a rapidly growing church of about 1,000 members, and they were down two pastors. One of those pastors had been the youth director, and he said, "I need some help." So at that time, I decided it's time to stop running. It's time to start listening, and I headed off to Franklin. And to be sure, while I was there, I still had difficult lessons to learn. I still had moments when I ran away in my heart, in my mind, and in my actions. But with the extreme blessing of so many people like you who continued to pour into me, I finally found a place to live in the presence of the Lord. It was an incredible 3 years in Franklin, very formative. And that led to 3 years in Austin, Texas, where I finally went off to seminary myself. And friends, I thank God for that. I thank God that God did not give up on me. I'm thankful that people like you did not give up on me. I didn't have to worry about a whale, but I'm thankful that I was not swallowed up by self-interest, indifference, or a life on the run, constantly seeking out those places where demons dwell. Resting in the presence of the Lord, I received an abundance of God's blessings that have made me not only a better pastor, but more importantly, a better person. With the encouragement of people like you, I became a Stephen minister. Through the support of people like you, I stepped way out of my comfort zone in taking these life-changing mission trips that had a huge impact on my life. During Vacation Bible School, I was convinced by people like you to become characters like the Lime Ranger, Lighthouse Larry, Cowboy Bob. The youth I served in Franklin, well, Laura served youth in Clarksville, Tennessee, and they said, "You know what? You two should get together." So through the youth of the church, Laura and I met one another and got married. And friends, even throughout all that, I continued to wrestle, not on the mat, but with my faith, thinking deeply again and again about what that baptism means, that baptism that I had so many years ago at the age of 11. So when we read the book of Jonah, we find a God who is extremely patient. God watches on as his would-be prophet continues just to err again and again. And even at the end, there's nothing really redeemable about Jonah. He complains because the same patience that he needed from God, he extended to the Ninevites, which really disappointed Jonah greatly. Yet through that story and others, we are reminded that we worship a God who is gracious and merciful and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from punishment. We find a God in that story whose very will can be changed when encountered by a faithful people who are truly repentant. And no matter if we are seniors as adults or seniors in high school, we find a God who equips us and gives us gifts of the Spirit and calls us to use those gifts in equipping each other and building each other up. So friends, my life, it could have ended up very differently. But because of a faithful God, because of a patient God, because of a faithful people like you, I join all of you in returning again and again to the presence of the Lord, where we worship and serve and live together. Amen.
You've been listening to the RPC Sermons podcast. Please let us know you're here by visiting roswellpres.org and signing our digital friendship register. May the grace and love of God be with you today and throughout the rest of your week. Thanks for listening.